It's on my heart tonight. If you can grab your Bible there, and it'll be on the screen for us here in just a minute, and go to John chapter number 20. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I'm still got this cough. Amen. How many of you thankful for the rain? Somebody say amen. Maybe it washed some of this stuff down. And if I have to struggle with this every year, I'm praying God move us out to Colorado or something like that. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm just messing with you. We're going to hang around even if we can't breathe. Somebody say amen. Thank God. John chapter number 20, and we'll start with verse number 19. And when you get there, say amen. All right, let's read a few verses, then I'll let you have a seat. Amen. Hadn't the Lord been good to us tonight? Amen. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 19. Then the same day at evening began the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had said, he showed himself, or showed unto him to them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Boy, how many of you thankful when the Lord shows up, things happen? Amen. They were glad. And the Bible said, Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. This is where I want to gather my thought tonight. Notice in verse number 24. Now we see through these verses, we see that the resurrection has taken place. They're assembled for fear of the Jews. They're in a place together. Jesus comes in the midst of them. And some of them are still doubting, but he comes in, he reveals himself that he's alive. And how many of you glad tonight? He's still alive. Amen. So Jesus turned their doubt into what? Belief, right? Now notice in verse number 24, the Bible said, But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciple therefore saith unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, now this is Thomas speaking now. Remember, he's missed out on a good church service. He's missed out on the presence of the Lord. He's missed out on a word from Christ. He's missed out on the fact that Jesus is resurrected here because he chose not to assemble together with God's people. Are you with me? Say amen. Now he says this, he says in verse 25, it says that other disciple therefore said unto him, We've seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hand the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, he said, I will not believe. After 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Oh my, he shows up for church. A difference what a church service makes. Bible said, Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas, the one who said, I will not believe. No, I'm not gonna believe this message until I see him. Put my hands to him. Notice what the Bible said. Thomas said this. He said, My Lord and my God. Do y'all see where now he's believing a little bit better? Are y'all with me? Say amen. Amen. Then the Bible says, And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. Father, touch us in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. You have a seat. I want to gather around this thought tonight, and I be honest with you, when Brother Jonathan was preaching revival last week, and he was saying a lot of good stuff on the cross, and then I had to follow that revival meeting up. Somebody say, I mean, my goodness. Now I know why the preacher left. Amen. Kind of hard to follow up that kind of preaching. But it was good. How many of you remember what the Lord did for us on bearing the cross? Amen. And I mean, he said this thought about Thomas and how that he... You know, when Jesus was bearing his cross and how that he was taking that cross, that nobody, none of the disciples were there to help in that carrying that cross. And he made the statement that Thomas might have would have believed if he had been picking splinters out of his back. But yet Thomas here, he's one of the 12, and he misses out on a church service. And then he takes and for some reason, we don't know exactly where he's at, but he's gotten to a place to where he's in a bad place because he does not believe. Are y'all with me? Can I say to you tonight that oftentimes we get into that place just like Thomas does, that we do not believe like we ought to. Come on, y'all help me now. We'll get some help tonight. And I thought about this and how that oftentimes, I've heard it even this past week, some people said that they've been having some struggle and they've been doubting some things of the Lord. Can I say to you tonight, I don't know about you, but the devil oftentimes, he does me this way, so I know he does you this way, but oftentimes when I'm in a place of trying to walk with the Lord and I got some doubt in my heart and I got some doubt in what I think God is trying to do or wants to do, I feel terrible and I feel guilty. Come on. I feel like I'm not even right with God because I'm not believing God like I know I should. Are y'all with me? And sometimes that comes because we've got a physical condition we're begging God for. Maybe we've got a financial situation that we need God to come through, or maybe it's a marriage that we need to see God mend, and yet we're sitting there, and guess what we're doing? We're doubting that God really can or He will. Come on, y'all. Y'all help me now. We've all been there, and the truth is some of you there tonight. Now, if you're not doubting tonight and God's answering all of your prayers, then praise God, come to see me after the service and tell me what you're doing. Because I ain't got there yet. I spend a lot of time doubting, and I know I shouldn't. And you know what I got to thinking? How that most Christians that doubt feel like they're not even saved. And you'll doubt even if you're even saved. But I got to thinking about some people in the Scriptures and how some of the greatest times of doubt came after the greatest victories of their Christian life. Oh, God, I'm going to preach here in just a minute. Amen. I only got 2 points tonight, so praise God. Y'all say amen right there. I'm trying to encourage y'all to keep me around because I've just got 2 points. I ain't got 14 like the preacher, so I'm going to say amen. All right? I got 2 points, so I'm trying to get you, but I got 3 sub-points under 2 points, each 2 point. Amen. But what I'm trying to tell you tonight, I began to look at this thing and began to examine my own heart, and oftentimes I feel bad for doubting God, and I know I shouldn't. We know that we believe, but like the one man said, he said, Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. Have you ever been there? Well, I thought about this and how that Elijah, one of the greatest victories he had, was calling fire down from heaven only to turn right around in his doubt, in his isolation, in his time alone, that he began to doubt who God really was and what God was doing. And then I thought about how that Peter, you remember Peter, how that Jesus takes it. He says to the disciples, who do men say that I am? They began to say, well, some say that you're Elijah, some say that you're John the Baptist, some say that you're Jeremiah. He looked over and he looked at Peter. He said, who do you say I am? You know what Peter said? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know what that tells me? He had some belief about who Jesus was. You know, 10 chapters later, he's denying the Lord and said, I don't even know who he is. Come on, y'all help me now. In other words, if it happened to them, it's probably going to happen to us. But that does not mean, glory to God, that God is not trying to do something with us and through us for His glory. I thought about John the Baptist. Y'all remember John the Baptist? He's in prison. He's just preaching the message. He's preaching righteousness. He's standing before Herod and saying, hey, what you're doing is wrong. You're taking your brother's wife, and that's against the law. And hey, and guess what? It wound him up in jail, in prison. And let me say this. It's getting to a point in this land, if we don't vote off of biblical principles, some of us we're gonna really find out who the true Christians are one of these days. Somebody say amen. And I'm willing to go to jail because I ain't going to hell. Somebody say amen. But here's what John the Baptist did. He's in a place, I mean, he's been there about a year. He's in his place of defeat. He's in his place of darkness. And he takes and he says to the disciples, he said, send them over to this Jesus and find out if that's really the Christ, if that's really the Messiah. They go over there and they find Jesus, and Jesus says this. He said, you go back there and tell John. He said that the deaf hear. He said that the lame, praise God, they're walking. He said that the dead's being resurrected. He said, let him know that, praise God, the gospel's being preached to the poor. Hey, let him know it's me. Are y'all with me? He goes back and he tells them, but listen to this. He goes back and tells them, you know what he did? You know what Jesus told the crowd that he was with? There's never been one greater than all born of a woman than John the Baptist. Man coming out there, I'm talking about with honey dripping off of him. Somebody say amen. In camel's raiment, praise God. And I mean, he's like a reed shaking in the wind. And I mean, he's a preacher, gospel. I'm talking about he's a God-called preacher, the forerunner of Jesus Christ. Found himself in a place of doubting. And you know what? Oh, I wrote, let me, hang on. It's in my notes. Let me get back to my notes. Hang on a minute. This ain't original, but I wish God would have given it to me original. I read behind this guy, and he said this about John. He said, John doesn't lose credibility with Jesus because of his present doubt. Come on, y'all help me. He didn't lose any credibility because he doubted. Y'all help me now. How many of you are glad you don't lose any credibility as a child of God if you are in your doubt tonight? Thank God for that. And I got to thinking about this. How in the world in those seasonal times, we see it. Men of God went through times of doubting. People of God went through times of doubting. And guess what? You and I will go through those times of doubting. So how do we get through that? How do we take, and when we're up against that, how do we get victory, and how do we conquer that doubt, so to say? Well, I'm going to give you a couple of keys tonight that we can take. We're going to show you in the scriptures that are going to teach us and help us. Thank God that in our doubting times, hallelujah, we can see some conquering. Somebody say amen. How many of you say you ain't ashamed of it? Say amen. That means all of us. And listen, don't let the devil tell you tonight because you doubt that you are not right with God and you don't mean anything. Come on now. Don't let the devil convince you just because you're doubting tonight, whatever that situation in your life might be, that does not mean that you're not right with God. That does not mean that you're not walking with God. That does not mean that you have the capability to actually believe God. But praise God, I sure am glad. Hallelujah. Thomas, he might have missed church, but Jesus showed back up. Somebody say amen. I'm going to give us two keys. I'm going to be real quick, and we're going to go eat some Chick-fil-A. Somebody say amen. First of all, I want you to notice now, the first key I want you to notice is simple now. This is a simple message, but I want you to get it tonight. In verses 19 through 23, in verse 19, he said this, the Bible says that where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews. First thing I want you to notice, or the first key that we must recognize here in conquering our doubts, is we must decide to be in the right place. We must decide, listen, decide tonight. If we're going to conquer our doubting times and get through those times in our life, even though we know we're saved, we're on our way to heaven, guess what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to decide that we're going to live our life being in the right place where God's people are, where God's presence is. Are y'all with me tonight? Say amen. I thought a few things in that were it was a place of promise. First of all, it was a place of promise. Jesus steps now in verse number 19. Thomas is not there, but this place, they're assembled together. The Bible says that Jesus stepped in there and said, "Peace be unto you." It was a place of promise. And when Thomas finally got into that place, guess what he realized? It was a place of promise. Jesus came on the scene, and you know what he did? He began to speak, "Peace be unto you." Who was he speaking to? He was speaking to those that were assembled together that had some doubt in their heart of who he was. But you know what? He came in and he called out a promise. He exemplified a promise, and thank God things began to turn around in their heart, and they began to believe not only because of what they saw, but what he said. You say, what's that got to do with anything? How many of you know you probably ain't going to hear "Peace be still" when you're in the Walmart line getting groceries because you're aggravated to death? Because there ain't but two lines open and they got 400 sitting there. Are y'all with me? Odds are you're not going to hear "Peace be still" if you're in the liquor line. Are y'all with me? Come on now. Y'all help me now. "Peace be still," probably odds are not going, you're going to hear "Peace be still" when you're driving through the drive-through after you've waited 30 minutes on an order of fries. But I tell you where "Peace be still" often is spoken: when we're together with God's people in God's presence. Somebody say amen. I want to say to you tonight, there's been times that I have doubted, and I hate to admit that. There's been times that, you know what, I just said, I was coming to Sunday school just because it was the right thing to do. Are y'all with me? Y'all realize we do have Sunday school around here. Are y'all with me? And it's good Sunday school too. Come on, give me time. I've been to Sunday school where it was just a filler, but this is good Sunday school. But oftentimes we just go through the motions just because we want to check it off, saying that, hey, we've been there and we've done that. But boy, how many times? I want to tell you something. We've been having some good Sunday school when I've been in there. And you know what I found out? Oftentimes before the service ever even starts, Jesus steps in the middle of us and says, peace be still. In other words, hey, when we're together, it doesn't matter where we're at. We're together with Him. Guess what? He begins to speak promises. You won't get this anywhere else. I'm thankful that there's been many times in my doubt. I've left the house and, praise God, got to church and Jesus spoke into my doubt and caused me to believe. Amen. I see it's a place of promise, but I also see not only is it a place of promise, but I see it's a place of power. Bible says this. Bible says that in verse number 22 that Jesus, after He revealed Himself and spoke to them, Bible says this, that He told them, He said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. In other words, gave them some power to get through things. Gave them some power to do the Great Commission. Gave them some power. Are y'all with me tonight? How many of you thankful that God will give you some power when you're powerless? You know what He found out? Thomas, he missed out on the fact that it was a place of power. He said, receive you the Holy Ghost. I can't help. I've got thinking about this. And how many of you was in this revival when Brother Jason Holly was here? Y'all remember that revival? I was thinking about this when God was giving me this, and oftentimes we doubt and stuff. And before Brother Jason came, I didn't know him. I didn't know him that well. I just knew of him. Me and the preacher were talking about it. He told me that he'd invited him to come, and I'd been in a meeting with him before, and just knew a little bit of his background and stuff. And I just had to, I hate to even admit this, because I love him to death, thank the world of him, and God's hands on him. But before we ever got here to the revival meeting, I'm thinking within myself, he's just not my greatest preacher. I'm just being real. You know, hey, let me tell you how Thomas got him some help. When the disciples, all right, came and told him that Jesus was alive, you might have not liked that he said that, I ain't going to believe it. But praise God, he was honest. Somebody say amen. He was honest. And I just have to be honest with you. And I thought to myself, well, you know what? Somebody will get help. Somebody will get saved. He might not be my friend. And don't you act like you don't have your preferences too. Come on, y'all help me. Y'all know you do, all right? But let me tell you this. I thought within myself, I hate to admit it, I thought within myself, you know what, I'm going to show up, I'm going to worship, I'm going to give God my very best. You know what, somebody's going to get some help. Some, because I know, you know why? Because Jesus was going to show up, I knew it. Y'all with me? I hate to admit it. I was sitting in that chair right there. Oh, I'm going somewhere with this one. I was sitting right there in that chair. Or I might have been sitting in that one. I think it was that one because Jason come up there and sit in that one. Jason's preaching. I'm talking about, I want to tell you something. God did something unique for, if you was here, you better thank God for it because that might be one of the very few opportunities we ever have to have some kind of meeting like that. I'm desiring more of that. Somebody say it was special. Me and the preacher talked about it because how many of you are thankful in the presence of God to change your life? And this don't happen at the bar room. Somebody say amen. It don't happen at the schoolhouse. It don't happen at Walmart. But it does happen in God's house with God's people, with God's power. And boy, I got to thinking about old Jason. He was up here preaching. And I'm telling you, Holy Ghost, I'm talking about the Holy Ghost got on me. And I'm, listen, what he was preaching I already knew, Miss CC. I'd probably already preached some of it. I knew it. But boy, that night, it wasn't a preacher speaking into me. It was the Holy Ghost speaking into me. And God, and Jason said this. He said, God, he said, I'm here to tell you tonight that God is for you. Y'all remember that? God, now I'm thinking, wait a minute. Here's what happened. He's over there preaching and doing just rearing back and getting her done. Can I get a witness? He said, God is for you. I knew that. How many times have I heard that? How many times have I read that? How many times I have believed that? He said, God is for you. And the Holy Ghost said, Scott, I'm for you. And I said, no, you can't be. No, no, I'm telling you, I'm really for you. That may not have meant much for you, but it did the world for me. I broke down, began to weep and cry. I got over on the altar and I said, Dalton, come help me pray. Hey, I'm thankful that God's for me. God did something in my heart that night. Because truth be known, I wasn't expecting much. I wasn't believing much. But the Holy Ghost came by and spoke into my life. You know what? He turned my doubt into believing. Somebody say amen. You know why? Because I just decided that I was going to be in the right place. You say, yeah, you paid to be here. No, I ain't. Because y'all don't pay me enough to be here. He's thinking, I'll get a witness. Praise God. I think about it being here all the time. If you jack me, no, I'm just kidding. Yeah, but you're supposed to be here. Let me just time out. You know, I've learned, I pastored for 10 years. Here's what I saw, 10 years of my pastoring. I saw the ones that believed God the least were the least attentive to being in His presence. Now, I'm not talking about struggling with doubt. You're going to go through seasons of doubt. But I've seen those that stayed faithful just to be there time and time and time and time again. Sure, they struggled with some doubt. They believe some things about God. Somebody say amen. Because if you've ever been touched one time by the Master's hand, you'll never get over it. Hallelujah. Hey, I ain't got vinegar of religion. Praise God, I got some honey, amen, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful for that tonight. And there's going to be times that I do doubt. But praise God, I've made a decision tonight, like we all ought to, that we're just going to show up in the right place. Why? Because, praise God, there's power there. There's a promise there. There's purpose there. He goes on and he talks to them and he begins to commission them. Tell them that, hey, you're going to go out. Basically, I'm giving you power to go out and proclaim this message of the good news of the gospel. And you know what? I was thinking about this. How that when I was probably about, I don't know, it was 21 when I got saved. Right a little after that. I was sitting in a meeting one night, just wet behind the ears. I didn't know a whole lot, to be honest with you. I didn't believe. I was just there. I said, I want to learn more. I want to grow. I want to get to where. I want to get to where like these people that are walking around believing God. I want to get like that. How many of you found out when you get to that place to want to get like that, God will start getting you like that? And I remember sitting in a service one night, just young. And the preacher that night began to preach, and it was one of them old-time Holy Ghost hacking preachers. Can I get away? Yeah. And he run around there, and he preached, and he said, God's calling somebody tonight. There's a young man in here God's calling. And it was me. And I didn't believe God that night, CC. God was talking to me, and I didn't surrender that night. But hallelujah, I'm glad I did. Because I found purpose for my life. Hallelujah. You won't find that anywhere else but in God's presence, with God's people, in God's house. Somebody say amen. I'm not trying to beat you up, because we're going to learn some things here in a minute. All right? I didn't come to beat you up. Amen. Jesus didn't come to Thomas to beat him up. He came to build him up. Are y'all with me? Let me ask you a question. We'll move on. When will you finally make your mind up that being around the place of God really matters? Won't you make your mind up tonight? I ain't trying to prolong this, but I think I'm all right. Chick-fil-A, what time they close? I'll make sure we get, what time? 10? So I got what? How long does it take us to get there? 5 minutes? All right, so 9:55 I got till. Somebody say amen. No, 9:50. Guess 5 minutes. When are you going to make your mind up that it really matters? You say, well, yeah, but you don't understand. You don't understand, preacher. You just don't understand, preacher. I mean, you know, I've worked all week. I'm tired. Man, I don't feel like it. Can I tell you, half the time I don't feel like it either. Are y'all with me? I'm tired. I'm just telling you, I've worked all. Let me ask you something. Your marriage is in a mess and you're struggling. I promise you, that $100,000 job that you got ain't going to fix it, because that's part of your problem. Come on, y'all help me now. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And you know what we need to do? We need to realize tonight that it really matters that we just show up. Because I guarantee you tonight, every one of us could testify, because listen, on a Wednesday night, you're here. Praise God. That's why I'm always stressing, just show up. It might be that one time that you just show up. And when you come, and you come for that one time that you just show up, and you show up again and again and again, guess what will finally happen? You say, I don't feel His touch right now. I don't believe right now. You just keep showing up, and before long, He'll show up just for you.
That's right. Amen.
And your marriage will get put back together.
Come on.
That sin that's got you entangled, be broken.
Yes, sir.
Somebody help me. That bondage will be broken. Hallelujah to God. Glory to God. There ain't no telling what all God does while we're here. Somebody say amen. But I sure am glad He does it. Not only I see the first key, we must decide to be in the right place, but number two, we must decide to believe in the right person.
Yes, sir.
2 points all I'm preaching. But listen, have you decided you're just going to show up? That's when Jesus will be the realest to you. But not only that, we must decide to believe in the right person. In verse number 25, the Bible said, the other disciples therefore said unto Him, we have seen the Lord. Now there, Jesus just spoke to them, peace be still. He showed them to it. The disciples, and man, I'm talking about they having a revival. I'm talking about they're glad and they're joyous. And they come to Thomas and said, hey, we've seen the Lord. He's alive. Thomas said, I don't really care. I don't care what your message is. It's basically what he's saying. I don't care. Until He shows me, I ain't believing. Isn't it something how God's men had a real godly message, and that old boy didn't even believe. Come on, y'all help me. How is it that a man of God can stand up here and preach a message to every single one of us, and half of us go out doubting, and half of us go out believing? How does that happen? Same message, same God, same preacher. Are y'all with me? I'll tell you how it happens. Because one is a message from a preacher that you're trusting in that preacher to change your doubt. The other is a message from the Savior who gets down there with you and convinces you that He's alive. That's the difference. Hallelujah to God. Not only a place, we need to show up in that place and be in that place of the Lord, but we're also we need to decide to believe in the right person. Think about Jesus. He's consistent. Bible said after 8 days, verse 26, that then came Jesus consistently. I wrote this down. Jesus never did, think about this, He never did reprimand Thomas for not showing up to church. Can I just say this? Stop beating people up for not being here. I had 2 rights on that. If Jesus didn't do it, neither should I. But Jesus, what He did was He showed up again. When Thomas was not consistent, Jesus was consistent to meet with Thomas. Y'all got to help me now. Thomas, you know what? Thomas doubted, but yet Jesus showed up. He was consistent to come again. How many of you are thankful when you do miss and you feel guilty because you did stay home because you're so tired and boy, you felt like you just lost your salvation? Anybody ever feel like that when you actually miss church?
Oh, yeah.
And you decide, you know what, the devil beats you up all week. See, you can't even go to church. What kind of Christian you are? And then finally you show up and guess what happens? Isn't it something? How God's so good that He'll pass by again. Why? Because He's consistent. Not only is He consistent, but we see that He's compassionate. Jesus' love for Thomas never, ever changed, even though he missed church. Jesus' love for Thomas never changed. Never, never, never changed. Because he missed church. But Thomas's love changed for Jesus because he missed church.
That's right.
Oh, somebody, that's a good place to say amen right there. How many of you found yourself oftentimes falling out of love with Jesus because you're just not in that right place, expecting the right person to come along? Amen, and prove to you he's alive. Jesus, I see his consistency. He's a person of consistency. He's a person, here we go, of compassion. But lastly, he's a person that is convincing. You know, I thought about this, and I'm going to close with this. Caitlin, you come on. See, it's 8:20. Y'all say amen. Come on, that's a good place to shout right there. I'm closing it down. Good place to shout. I'm going to let you go. But Jesus was consistent, show up again. Jesus was compassionate in that he never reprimanded him, he never criticized him. But here's what he done. Jesus, when he came to the saint, now we see one time he came to the disciples, he spoke to all of them, peace be unto you. And then they began to believe, began to show himself. He steps over again to the disciples where they were assembled, and he says, peace be unto you. But this time, he goes to Thomas, and he says unto Thomas, specifically, are y'all hearing me right now? Specifically, he's talking to Thomas. He's not, even though the rest of them are going to hear the message, he's talking to one. Before, he's talking to all of them, and they get the message. But Thomas has missed church. He's missed out. He's in his doubt. He doesn't believe. You know what Jesus does? He comes, and he comes right to him. I want to tell you something. We ought to be thankful, because sometimes we'll come into church, and if we'd be real honest, we'd be real doubting when we come in here. And we'll wonder if anybody else is going to be blessed or anybody else is going to get touched. And we hear the shouting, and we hear the singing, and we hear the praising, and we hear the preaching. All to have Jesus come right down the aisle where we're at. And thank God, listen to me, he's not talking to Victor. He's not, glory to God, he's not talking to Brother Mark. But he sits down right with me, and he calls me by name and says, hey, I'm here for you. I want to convince you. I want you to believe, because I am here for you. Any of you thankful tonight that even when you doubt, he comes into your doubt and changes your doubt to convince you that he's alive, and he steps right in the circle of where you're living and talks to you? Thank God for that tonight. I don't know what you're going through tonight. I don't know how much the devil's beat you up. How many of you feel like sometimes you just run over by him? If some of you got some physical things going on, and deep in your heart, you know you serve the great physician. You know in a matter of one touch, he can heal your body. You know in a matter of one prayer, he can answer. But you're sitting down in your doubt tonight. And Jesus has walked by, and he's sitting right there in your chair. And he's saying, listen, I don't want you to listen to Scott. Scott's presenting the message, but I want you to listen to me. And how many of you know there's been many a time so if we come in broken and beaten and battered, only to have Jesus speak to us what the preacher could not speak. Speak to us what mom and daddy could not speak. Speak to us what our husband could not speak or our wife could not speak. Speak to us what a church member could not speak. I'm glad he's still speaking in that way today. Maybe you're here tonight. You've got some things you want to believe God for, but really you've been sitting in your doubt. Why don't you find yourself at the altar somewhere tonight? God knows. God knows exactly where you are tonight. God knows the need in your life. Why don't you bring it before the Lord? And listen, not allow a preacher to convince you, but allow the Lord Jesus to convince you tonight. Come on. Bless his holy name. When will we finally be like Thomas and say, Jesus is why I'm believing? A lot of people are trying to be convinced by what they feel, by what someone says, by what someone does. Why don't you let Jesus convince you tonight that He's alive and He wants to work on your behalf? He wants to convince you tonight. You're sitting in that struggle. You won't be honest with people around you, but Thomas, he was honest enough about himself that he didn't care what other people thought. He said, I will not believe unless Jesus passes by. And I sure am glad, thank God, 8 days later after he missed the church service, Jesus passed by. Father, thank you, Lord, for helping us tonight. And I pray, God, that you've touched us. Lord, we're thankful that we can look through the scriptures and times that we're doubting. God, we can take and know that we can be conquerors in that doubt. Because you've been faithful time and time again. God, to touch us and to help us and to move. God, I pray for these on the altar tonight. God, you know the need. There's many that are bringing their burdens tonight. Many walked in defeated and they walked in doubting and they walked in wondering. God, I pray this be the night. If it's not tonight, God, I pray it'll be Sunday morning. If it's not Sunday morning, I pray it'll be Sunday night. But Lord, as we continue to assemble together, over and over and over, God, it seems like every single time we come, God, you speak, you move, you touch, and I want to thank you for that. Lord, don't let the devil convince us that we're unworthy because we doubt. Because, Lord, we got a promise from the Savior tonight that, God, in our doubt, we can believe. With heads bowed, eyes closed, I wonder tonight how many of you would be honest like Thomas was. You'd be honest with yourself tonight. There's been an area in your life that you really want to see God work. But the truth is, time and time again, it seems that you're not believing like you should. The devil's been beating you up and saying, your marriage is over. Saying, you'll never be healed. Saying, no, that bill will never be paid. Saying, no, you'll never be a good Christian. No, you'll never get it like them. No, you'll never have that baby like her. No, you'll never. How many of you be honest with me tonight and say, boy, the devil's beat me up with that never thing. And I've gotten to a place in my life often that I'm struggling with believing God. How many of you be honest with me tonight? Throw your hand up. I want to pray for you tonight. I know many of you. Thank you for your honesty tonight. Maybe you're not in that place. It's all right. Praise God. Pray for those that are. Encourage those that are. Believe for those that are. God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, you'll touch these that raise the hand. God, thank you for their honesty, and I pray, God, you'll continue to help them. I wonder tonight how many of you could say for a fact now, I know this is on a Wednesday night, I know oftentimes we go through the invitation and you say, preacher, why are we always giving an invitation to be saved? Because it's the most important thing and decision a person will ever make is to be born again. How many of you be honest with me tonight and say, preacher, there ain't a doubt in my mind tonight and my heart that I know, that I know, that I know that I'm saved, I'm sealed, and I one day will be delivered because I know that I'm saved. How many of you throw your hand up real high and say, I ain't ashamed of it. I've been born again. Thank you. Hands going up everywhere. Thank you. Appreciate it. You can put them down. There might be one tonight. You know what? You've been coming time and time and time again, and you just don't believe that He is the Lord Jesus. You don't believe that He is who He says He is. But tonight, God's spoken to you, and you're ready to believe. You're ready to trust Him. You're ready to call on Him. You know you're a sinner. Nobody has to tell you that. You know that you're a sinner. The Bible said all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But thank God, I sure am glad, even while we were yet sinners, guess what? He commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. In that sin, Christ still died for us. Tonight could be your night. You walk away believing. How many of you would say, preacher, maybe there's one in here tonight. Say, I'm being honest tonight. I don't know and I want to know. And I'm tired of not knowing. And I want to be convinced that He is who He says He is. I want to be convinced and I'm going to walk out of here and know that when I draw my last breath, I'll be in heaven. You can know that tonight, but I want to pray for you. Would you slip your hand up? Anybody in the building tonight? all over the church house, anybody. Thank you, Lord, for being so good to us tonight. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. You've been so wonderful to meet with us like you do. God, I want to thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us. I want to thank you for God's people being here. Lord, many times, God, we over and over and over we go through these seasons of doubt, but I sure am thankful, Lord, you strengthen us through your word and by your power. God, I pray tonight that, Lord, something was said or done that's made a difference. Lord, I pray for our preacher. I pray for Miss Michelle. I pray, God, you'll give them traveling grace while they come home. And God, I pray that you'll take and use Brother Dalton and bless Brother Trent, and God, continue to bless them. And thank you, Lord, for